This is on the first day of the seventh month. He read from it, facing the square before the water gate, from early morning until midday, in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. The scribe Ezra stood on a wooden platform that had been made for the purpose, and beside him stood Mattathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Maaseiah on his right hand, and Pedaiah, Mishael, Micaiah, Hashem, Hashbadana, Zechariah, and Meshullam on his left hand. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands. Then they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Thank you, God, that we follow in the age-old tradition of gathering together in the morning to hear your word. We're still making our way around the Zia symbol. We've done morning, and now we're up to noon. So how do you start your day? Do you get up early in the morning and take a shower and fix a nice cup of tea or coffee, and then maybe sit down to read the newspaper? Do you start your day by delving into the word? Let me tell you, that's a good way to start your day. I read a chapter of the Bible each morning while I'm having my coffee and my flour tortilla with Nutella. I've done the read the Bible in a year thing and I enjoyed it. But some days, the schedule I followed had me reading two or more chapters a day, and it felt a little rushed, almost a feeling of read it fast and just get it over with. I have to get to work. That's not the right attitude to have when you're reading the Bible. So now I just read one chapter a day, and that suits me well. I feel like I can take more time to savor the words and let the Spirit tell me new insights with this easier schedule. I won't read the entire Bible in 1 year, but that's all right. It's still a good way to start the day. The exiles who had returned to Jerusalem would agree with that. Early one morning, they gathered before the newly built wall in Jerusalem to listen as Ezra, the scribe, read the Bible to them. Of course, the Bible they had consisted of the Old or First Testament. The book of the law of Moses is called the Torah, consisting of the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. These books were Israel's instruction manual for how to walk before God, and as the people listened, they were made starkly aware that they had not been doing a good job of that at all. The more the people heard, the worse they felt. They slowly recognized that they had been neglecting God's commands. They realized they hadn't been following God's dictates about worship and holding certain set festivals, God's commands, not recommendations, for how to truly worship and serve God. As the realization dawned on them, pun intended, they started to feel regretful and even fearful. What would God do to them for their blatant disregard of God's will? Surely God was a God of wrath and God would punish them. The people began to weep. Now their sins were exposed to the bright noonday sun, and they saw themselves as wretched and worthless and irredeemable, and they knew God was going to zap them. At noon, with the sun high in the sky at the midpoint of the day, they came to a crossroad in their lives, and they knew they had to make a choice to continue in their disrespect or to start taking God seriously and start walking a new way. Seeing their tears, Nehemiah gave them a strange bit of advice. Don't weep. This day is holy to the Lord. They had reason to weep, of course, but they also had much to be thankful for. The words of the book of the law had the power to change people's lives, to strike them with a holy sorrow, but they got a second chance to do better and be better. They got to contemplate the error of their ways and set about changing those ways. And God did not zap them, even though they felt they deserved to be zapped. They may have felt weak and lonely, but Nehemiah assured them, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." That phrase can be taken in one of two ways. It could mean the Lord's own joy that gave them strength to face their foibles and follies and work to get back in God's good graces. It could be the joy that the Lord had in them, God's joy in seeing them return home at last, God's joy in seeing that they took the word to heart, God's joy in looking forward to building a new and better relationship with them. It could also mean their joy in the Lord was their strength. Their hearts full of gratitude to God for bringing them home, their eagerness to listen to and learn from God, their reverence for the word God had given them, evidenced by the way they stood solemnly as Ezra read. These things gave them joy and made them appreciate the Lord their God more and more. Nehemiah was wise to implore them to celebrate instead of weep, because on the other side of noon, after noon, they had several more hours of daylight in which to live and learn and make amends with God. There was still light enough to look for, and it would start them walking down a new path that would lead them to God. As they moved from the dawning of understanding, they at last came to noontime, the high point of the day, when the sun is directly overhead, when the time when there are no shadows on the ground, and the rest of the day stretches out with endless possibilities before us. It was decision-making time. There was no going back. It was now or never. Maybe that's why in Western movies, gunslingers chose noon for their shootouts. There was enough sunlight to see by. There were no shadows to distract or disrupt. Everything was bright and clear. There was another biblical noontime that made everything in our lives crystal clear. Did God plan that out, that just at noontime, when there was enough sunlight to see by, when there were no shadows to distract or disrupt, when everything was bright and clear and everyone could see plainly what was happening, at noontime on one fateful Friday, Jesus Christ died on the cross. The cross itself was a midpoint, like an exclamation point on the top of Golgotha, the hill where Jesus died. That midpoint moment is etched in our lives and in our memories. It was decision-making time, no going back. Will we move forward into the rest of the day or give up the ghost at high noon? For Jesus' disciples watching his agonizing execution, it seemed as though this was the final hour of power and of hope. What use was the rest of the day? Why even go on? Could they have heard or believed Nehemiah's words of comfort? Don't weep. This day is holy to the Lord. It would be hard to justify that, to consider the day God's Messiah died as holy. Our instinct on Good Friday is indeed to weep and mourn, but God says no, it's a day of celebration. We call it Good Friday not because Jesus died, but because in the afternoon we got another chance. Still a lot of day left, a lot of time for us to realign and reassign ourselves and get ready for the end of all days. For the next day, the best day. For Jesus, the joy of the Lord was indeed his strength. Even dying, he had great joy in knowing that he had done God's will. He had finished the task God had set him to do. There's joy in obedience. And that's how Jesus was able to endure the horror of death by crucifixion. Yes, even in that terrible moment, bleeding and in incredible pain, the joy of fulfilling his destiny gave Jesus the strength to endure it, and to endure the most agonizing part of all, being separated from God. Jesus had never even had a moment apart from God, but there on the cross, as the noonday sun beat down upon him, the sun that he had helped God create, he knew that sense of alienation from God. The people in Jerusalem wept as they heard God's word declared to them, because they too felt quite keenly the pain of being out of God's will, separated from God. That's definitely enough to make you weep as the noonday sun beats down. Something else biblical happened at noontime. Do you remember? That's when Saul of Tarsus had a powerful encounter with Jesus himself, an encounter so startling and revelatory that it changed his life forever. He went from being Saul, a persecutor and enemy of the Christ followers, to Paul, the preeminent apostle and a champion of the Christian cause. Amazing what a little daylight will do to you. Amazing how clearly it all becomes at noon. And the best thing about noon is that although part of the day has passed already, there's still more daylight to enjoy. There's still more time to play and to pray. We used to love summertime as kids, especially June 21st, the day with the most amount of sunlight in the year. The day seems to stretch out on and on forever and ever, and you could almost believe night would never come. But as the Zia people have shown us through their Zia symbol, night has to come, because that's part of the plan, the progression from dawn to noon to evening to night. It's a fitting metaphor for the path of understanding. At dawn, things are dim, not too solid looking, but at noon, everything becomes clear. It's up to you to decide how to spend the rest of the day, either walking joyfully in the sunlight or waiting fearfully for the darkness to catch up to you again. If you start your day off right, asking the word to be your light, there will be no reason to fear the night, because that scriptural beacon will still shine bright. So take a tip from me and the returned exiles. Get your day started on the right foot by turning to the word. Read a little or a lot, but let God's holy scriptures permeate your senses and give you food for thought to gnaw and nosh on all day long. I promise you, when noon comes around, lunchtime for most of us, you will be satisfied and fulfilled and ready for the rest of the day. Could you do that? Stand listening to God's word for 6 straight hours? Would you cry as you heard the word? Or would you lift your hands on high and say, "Amen, amen," and then worship God with your face to the ground? It is high noon, the time of reckoning and reconciliation. Don't bow down in despair. Stand straight with the joy you have found in the Lord. Lift up your face to the sun above. Lift up your faith to the sun above. And say it again, amen and amen.
Sky.